stop here if you want to talk about freedom. I had wanted to write a book about freedom. I had wanted to write this book at least since the subject emerged as an unexpected subtext in a book of mine about art and cruelty. I had set out to write about cruelty, then found, to my surprise, freedom coming through the cracks, light and air into cruelty's stuffy cell. Once exhausted by cruelty, I turned to freedom directly. I started with What is Freedom by Hannah Arendt and began to amass my piles. But before long, I diverted and wrote a book about care. Some people thought the book about care was also a book about freedom. This was satisfying, as I too felt this to be the case. For some time, I thought a book on freedom might no longer be necessary. Maybe not by me. Maybe not by anyone. Can you think of a more depleted, imprecise, or weaponized word? I used to care about freedom, but now I mostly care about love, one friend told me. Many have connected rather than opposed love and freedom. See Bell Hooks's Love as the Practice of Freedom, in which Hooks asserts, "The moment we choose to love, we begin to move towards freedom." Foucault's linkage of practices of freedom to care of the self. Brazilian philosopher and educator Paulo Freire's focus on the act of love as commitment to the cause of liberation. Freedom feels like a corrupt and emptied code word for war, a commercial export, something a patriarch might give or rescind, another wrote. "That's a white word," said another. Often I agreed. Why not take up with some less contested, obviously timely and worthy value, such as obligation, mutual aid, coexistence, resiliency, sustainability, or what Manolo Callahan has called insubordinate conviviality? Why not acknowledge that freedom's long star turn might finally be coming to a close, that a continued obsession with it may reflect a death drive? "Your freedom is killing me," read the signs of protesters in the middle of a pandemic. "Your health is not more important than my liberty," maskless others shout back. See Ammon Bundy's March 2020 comments about the coronavirus. "This virus is being exploited in every way by people in and out of government who want to take what does not belong to them. I pray that enough of us will wake up, stand up, and put liberty above safety in every case." See also historian Jelani Cobb's comment on his Twitter feed in April 2020. "The reopened protesters keep saying live free or die. Someone should tell them those two things are not mutually exclusive." And yet, I still couldn't quit it. Part of the trouble resides in the word itself, whose meaning is not at all self-evident or shared. This method echoes Eric Foner's as he describes it in the introduction to The Story of American Freedom. Rather than seeing freedom as a fixed category or predetermined concept, I view it as an essentially contested concept, one that by its very nature is the subject of disagreement. Use of such a concept automatically presupposes an ongoing dialogue with other competing meanings. In fact, it operates more like God, in that when we use it, we can never really be sure what exactly we're talking about, or whether we're talking about the same thing. Are we talking about negative freedom, positive freedom, anarchist freedom, Marxist freedom, abolitionist freedom, libertarian freedom, white settler freedom, decolonizing freedom, neoliberal freedom, Zapatista freedom, spiritual freedom, and so on? All of which leads to Ludwig Wittgenstein's famous edict, "The meaning of a word is its use." I thought of this formulation the other day when, on my university campus, I passed by a table with a banner that read, "Stop here if you want to talk about freedom." Boy, do I thought. So I stopped and asked the young white man, probably an undergraduate, what type of freedom he wanted to talk about. He looked me up and down, then said slowly, with a hint of menace, a hint of insecurity, "You know, regular old freedom." I noticed then that he was selling buttons divided into three categories: saving the unborn, owning the libs, and gun rights. As Wittgenstein's work makes clear, that the meaning of a word is its use is no cause for paralysis or lament. It can instead act as an incitement to track which language game is being played. Such is the approach taken in the pages that follow, in which freedom acts as a reusable train ticket, marked or perforated by the many stations, hands, and vessels through which it passes. I borrow this metaphor from Wayne Kostenbaum, who once used it to describe the way a word or a set of words permutates in the work of Gertrude Stein. What the word means is none of your business, Kostenbaum writes, but it is indubitably your business where the word travels. For whatever the confusions wrought from talking about freedom, they do not in essence differ from the misunderstandings we risk when we talk to one another about other things. And talk to one another we must, even, or especially if we are, as George Oppen had it, no longer sure of the words.